This week, I had to travel to Nashville for work and discovered a couple of things. Nashville is a lot bigger than I ever thought it was. And that traffic ain't no joke. Anyone that's ever been there, that's a crowded place. And they don't know how to use turn signals, but that's not the message today, I promise. Anyway, I had to work at a hospital called St. Thomas's Hospital. It's right beside Vanderbilt Medical Center and the Nashville VA. The Nashville VA is one of the top VA hospitals in the country. I never really knew the VA hospitals did heart transplants, kidney transplants, stem cell transplants. This place does. Turns out the hotel we were staying at, for folks that have transplants like that, a lot of times they have to stay in hotels close to the hospital for long periods of time so they can go back and forth because they come from a long way off. And not every hospital can treat a transplant person right after they've had it. So if there's a danger of rejection, they can be close by within a couple of miles. So there was a shuttle there that would carry folks back and forth to the different hospitals. And with the traffic, I decided to take them up on it. Shuttle driver, his name was Tony. There would be a crowd of people in that van every morning. I left at 6 in the morning, 6:30. He knew every person in that crowd. He knew their stories. He knew this man had been doing this for years. 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, for years, driving this shuttle. There was one lady. Her husband was at the VA. He knew the husband was going to have a scope today. He'd been in the hospital 109 days at that time. Knew he was going to have a procedure to put a camera down his throat and see things, and knew the results may not be good. He knew that. He knew that about this woman. He knew where they were from. He knew the struggles they were going through. He did that with everyone on that show. I knew right then and there, in front of me, the hands and feet of God manifested itself in this man with kind words and a smile. And I thought, is this what I'm supposed to speak about this week? Well, the shuttle ride was good. The work wasn't too good. I was supposed to have been there for a new unit to open up this week. Well, walked in the room. There was a bed there. Our monitor was there. But that was about it. And so we found out Tuesday evening the unit wasn't going to open. So the project manager said, y'all come home Wednesday. We drove home Wednesday. Get a call Thursday morning from one of our friends who was having a real tough time. Went to the doctor's office. Was supposed to be getting biopsy results. Didn't get them. Doctor's office never called them. They did give them a $300 bill. But no biopsies, no way to get them. Wouldn't even pick up the phone to call. Person called us, really distressed. They knew our background. We told them to go to the hospital where the procedure was at. Contact a patient advocate, someone that's supposed to help you. If you do have a problem in a hospital, most hospitals of any size now have a patient advocate, someone who can reach in to help you. Well, they got to run the litter. Who said, well, we really don't want to bother the lab because they're busy. I'm going to repeat that. We don't want to bother the lab because they're busy. This woman's waiting on a biopsy result. Anyone that's ever had to wait on one of those, the days seem like years. So we said, okay, go talk to the lab. Talk to the administration of the hospital. They kind of kept getting the runaround. By this time, Lisa and I was putting on pastor clothes. I'd already called the hospital president, got his secretary's email, left the strongest voicemail I have ever left. It wasn't as a pastor, it was as a nurse, and I started throwing out all these titles, names, and all this stuff. And we really don't want this to go into anything more than what it should, because it would make damage the fine reputation of your facility. Then after a call with Fox Carolina, yes. Then went off the deep end. Thought your pastor was going to be on the news for getting arrested. Lisa and I go up there. God had already started moving way before we did. Way before we did. I wish I could take credit for what happened after we got there, but I can't. I can't. There ain't no way I can. It was the Holy Spirit. Lab supervisor, anyone's ever worked in the hospital, they, for the most part, not the friendliest bunch in the world. This woman had been at this hospital 30-some years. Somehow, some way, this woman's story got to this lab supervisor. She was crying. She picked up the phone to this out-of-state lab, called, put a rush on it. Within 24 hours, this lady had her results on Friday. We were praying in the patient advocate office, about five of us holding hands. Compassion. The lab supervisor had thought about quitting this week. She told us that. 30-some years, she thought about walking out the door. That experience changed her. That she felt like she was doing some good. What do those two things have in common? Acts of compassion. Total acts of compassion. We got a compassion or vitamin C deficiency in this world. I want to clarify something. Meaning that compassion is recognize the suffering of others, then act to help. Compassion for others being taken advantage of, two different things. It's two different things. When you take compassion, you show compassion to someone, there are people that can't do for themselves. And there are people that won't do for themselves. And those are two different, those are two totally different things. The people that won't do for themselves because they have to give up something, no. That's being taken advantage of. Compassion, though, people that can't help themselves. And this message is about compassion. You look at this world right now. I can't stand to look at Facebook sometimes because I see stories of animal cruelty. Even worse than animal cruelty. New Mexico is telling New York, here, hold my beer. I'm going to make an even bigger abortion law. As a nurse, if this law passes, I could be found criminally contempt if I didn't assist in an abortion. Any excuse, any reason. I don't care what your politics are, that's wrong. You can't have religious excuses for one, you can't, and not the other. Look at just around the corner. People robbing people, people killing people, people stealing stuff off cemeteries. Compassion. We have a deficiency in it right now. Look, think about your everyday lives, people you work with, people who might go to school with, relationships. You got 11-year-olds killing themselves because kids in their class are taking the Instagram, they're taking the Snapchat, they're taking the Facebook, and they're bullying them 24 hours a day. You got kids telling kids, go ahead, kill yourself. That's a compassion deficiency. You have pharmaceutical companies that are raising the prices on 30 and 40 year old drugs 4,000%. I'm not making that up. There's a Medicaid skin cream pharmaceutical company just jacked up the price 3,900%. You used to pay $1 for it, you're going to pay $39 for the same thing. How much compassion are we seeing being shown for people on an average day? Why is it important to us as a Christian to see it and do it? I got to looking through Scripture and I found this in the script in the book of Matthew. Jesus and his disciples were at, they'd just gotten some bad news right before this. John the Baptist had just been beheaded, murdered by King Herod. Jesus knew his time to the cross was coming near. That was one of the things that was gonna, that was foretold a long time ago. This was another step to that cross. Jesus was God in man form. He allowed himself to feel fear. He allowed himself to feel human emotions. So he knew his time was running out. But there he was. He just found this out when this man came up and said, "My daughter needs some help. She's died." Got right up. Went to do that. Even with all this on his mind, he knew what was going to happen. Compassion. John the Baptist was the first one to recognize Jesus for who he was. He was in his mother's womb and rejoiced and jumped. He was the voice crying out in the wilderness. Some sources say that they were even cousins. Jesus was having an awful day. He grieved for John, but he got up. And I think that says something. There are times when the Holy Spirit calls us to be God's hands and feet and deliver compassion, and it's not going to be convenient. We could be struggling on our own. Have you ever had those urges that you need to talk to someone, or you need to ask someone how they were doing? Really honestly ask, but everything in your life was falling apart at the time. I've been there. Jesus was having one of those days. And there are times, though, that the Holy Spirit won't put just one task on you. He's going to put multiple tasks on you. Along the way to that woman, to that little girl's house, a woman who'd been suffering with ailments for 12 years came up and talked to him. We may not be able to heal people with a touch of our clothes, but through our compassion for others, we can reach people that we never even thought we could. Sometimes just a kind word, kind ear. You think of a person's life like a still pond. When we put that act of compassion in there, it's like throwing a rock into it. It has the potential to ripple all across that pond. Along with that person we're showing compassion to, maybe there are others in their lives that their struggles are affecting. You have that person that has addiction, that person that is struggling with mental illness, that person that's struggling with physical health, but they're so depressed they just can't pull themselves out of that well of despair. You have that person that they've lost their job, they lost their identity, they don't know, they're just struggling. If you can help lift them up one bit, what's it going to do to their wife, their husband, their kids, their mama, their daddy? You never know the effects of a simple act. Just like a man talking to a shovel driver, talking to a lady who's waited on her husband up 3.5 months in a hospital. Those little things, you could see it light up on her face. Just that someone cared and they were concerned. How many of us know someone like this woman who has suffered, bleeding out their faith, their peace, their hope and their love, feeling drained and defeated? And what caused that healing? Jesus' compassion for her. She could lay both hands on him, but he started that compassion. He felt compassion for her. He still wants to help those spiritually bleeding out there. They finally got to the official's house. Saw the flute player. Everybody was like, "Woo!" He goes in and see the girl. Says she's just sleeping. Everybody starts laughing at him. She gets up. That is a mic drop moment in the New Testament. Jesus would not be this big of a smart aleck. I would have been. And I'm sure he did not hear one bit of laughter in that room. And even now, when your life has been touched by God, aren't you just awe-stricken when it happens? Just like the crowd in that house, there are some that don't believe in compassion at all, or only if they get something out of it. Sad part is that we do get something out of it. People don't realize it. We're supposed to be on a journey as a Christian. You should never be in the same spot you were a year ago. When we're like that, we get in a bubble. And getting in a bubble as a Christian, as a pastor, is the worst thing that can happen because you lose touch with the people around you. As you start, you just keep moving. Our goal, get more like Christ. We know we'll never get there, but in our attempts, we draw closer to Him. Part of that is, if you look at Jesus in His life, prayer, word, ministry. Ministry is for everyone. And compassion for others. Those things open up the floodgates of God's grace. And in that, we're changed. We grow. Perfect? No. No. Anyone ever thinks they are, they pull on themselves. But better, yes. They all work together. The prayer and the word, the relationship help you to understand the importance for ministry and compassion for others. The ministry is a big, it's a $1 word for something that takes nickel to do. Ministry is you talking to folks. Ministry can be showing people how you live, how you respond, and that opens the door for the Holy Spirit to come in. You don't have to have fancy words. You don't have to have fancy clothes. You don't have to have fancy prayers. Just show people how you live. Not condescending, not beating them over the head, but just show them. And then when that opportunity comes, let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. Most of the best speakers in the Bible or most powerful people in the Bible didn't have a tongue for ministry. They just had a heart for God. That's what you got to have. As we move on here, two blind men, they leave the house, and Jesus come, and Jesus is there, and because everything that he said and did, it's just spreading like wildfire. You have to remember, before the birth of Jesus, there had not been seen miracles in Israel in hundreds of years. There for a time, you had prophets all around. And God did work through them and did miracles, but it had been a long dry spell. And there were so many people suffering, just like there are today. These two people will come up to Jesus and say, "Have mercy." And he asked them, "Can I do this?" And they said, "Yes." Restored their sight. And he told them, see, that no one knows about it, but they were so happy they went out and spread the news. And I thought it was interesting that Jesus didn't want the blind men to tell anyone about it. I think part of it could have come that he knew the Pharisees would hate him even more. Jesus was on a timetable. Everything that he did was very deliberate. His death during the week of Passover, deliberate. There are some people that compare the very first Passover meal with his crucifixion. That had happened 1,500 years before he was born. The details of his life were all very deliberate. I think also, too, Jesus was a humble man. He was God, but he was still a man in man form. And I think that when we show compassion or kindness for someone else, we aren't really doing it to be noticed. Shouldn't be. Just doing it because it's the right thing to do. And how do we know it's right? This gives you the idea of what's right, what's wrong. And I don't blame the men. If I had an infirmity like that and Jesus healed it, I'd be yelling his name all over the street. I would. I mean, if I could be healed of some of the aches and pains I have, or if anybody in this church would be healed, we'd be shouting Jesus. They would hear us down at Lewin Perry's, and it'd be all right. I think there are a lot of times, though, that when we do compassion, we do it for the act of doing it. We don't do it to be noticed or seen. And I think that's what Jesus was getting here. And Jesus was having a busy day. In this section, you can't really count all the miracles he does. Right after the blind man left, a mute, demon-possessed man was brought to him. And Jesus removed the demon from him. Now, of course, our buddies, the Pharisees, were saying he casts out demons because he is one. Have you ever helped someone, shown compassion to them, and then someone around them was saying, questioning, why were you doing that? You helped fix somebody's tire, and not the person that you helped, but somebody who didn't do a thing, and they coming up, and they're like, oh, I didn't do that. Why didn't you do it? But that's what we found. And the Pharisees were like that. That they just want to, there's someone like that, I think, in every situation for compassion. The Pharisees, according to traditional Jewish law, probably blamed this man or his parents for his condition. They blamed him for this. He was viewed as unclean. They wouldn't have anything to do with him. But yet, when Jesus comes along and feels compassion and helps this man, there they are. I didn't see that. Where were they? Where were they? They were supposed to be spiritual leaders. They were supposed to be leaders of the community. This man, when he was suffering, they weren't there. This type of person has been around a long time. They'll be around long after I'm gone. They don't want to help, but they want to criticize you when you try to help. That stopped Jesus? No. Has it stopped some of us? Yeah, probably. You'd help so-and-so, but there's so-and-so along with them. I'll be the first to admit, there have been people that I have not wanted to help, not because of them, but because inevitably there's going to be someone complaining, moaning, and groaning about it. And it's something I have to pray about. And if you have that person in your life, you feel like you need to help, but there's that other, you like Frick, but you don't like Frack, sometimes you got to pray about it. And we have to remember, why are we being compassionate towards this person? For ourselves or for God? And whose opinion means more? Jesus continued through all the cities and villages around Judea, Palestine, teaching and proclaiming the gospel. No one knows how many healing miracles or acts of compassion Jesus actually did. Luke was quoted as saying it would fill up volumes and volumes of people that he actually healed. No one knows. And he felt sorry for them. Like sheep without a shepherd. And he was talking about how the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And asking for the Lord of the harvest to send workers out to help. Look at this world right now. Do we have enough shuttle drivers and lab supervisors and people like that in this world? They're out there helping to be helping. That care enough to go that extra mile. That do like they want done for them. You look at the news right now, people are cutting each other down with swords. It don't matter which side of the aisle you're on. People are attacking people. It doesn't matter. If someone does something, someone's going to criticize it. If someone tries to help, someone's going to say something about it. How's it going to change? This level. This level. Some things go from the top down, but some things go from the bottom up. There are people who are suffering inside these walls and outside these walls. So many of them, a lot of them are in churches right now, all across this country. They're suffering. They're hurting. There are a lot of people that think that this harvest of souls that know nothing about Jesus or care nothing about Jesus is somebody else's responsibility. Acts of compassion can be one of the more effective ways to open up a person's heart to get Jesus in there. It's really uncomfortable for a lot of folks to talk to people about Jesus. It is. But through what you do, that cracking the door can occur and the Holy Spirit come in. How did these people come? It was through Jesus' acts of compassion and healing and kindness. In the verses above, Jesus is calling us to be workers for his harvest. And the harvest is to tell people about Jesus and what he did. And there may be people out there listening and thinking, well, yeah, that's pastor, that's evangelist. Nah. That's everybody's job. If you're a Christian, it's your job. Jesus went to heaven before he went there. I expect you to go out and make disciples. He didn't say reverend. He didn't say father. He didn't say pastor. He was saying us. Us. We all have our gifts that we can do it. I've said it before. There have been a lot of people come to Jesus on a riverbank, on a bass boat, coffee shop, a lot more than you'll ever see in the church. Through work, through school, raising these kids right. Those, that's our future. That's what we can do towards this harvest. Might be thinking, you don't know the Bible, don't know how to pray. Read one or two verses a day. One or two. Then pray about it. It doesn't have to be fancy. And I'll be the first to admit, when I pray, if you think it's pretty, thank the Holy Spirit. Don't thank me. It is the Holy Spirit. It is not me. If I ever have a beautiful, what you think is a beautiful service for a funeral or a wedding, Holy Spirit. You start, be honest with him, and he'll bring out the rest. The opportunities for compassion to others will come along. Just remember, have the discernment to know the difference between compassion and being taken advantage of. Because they're two very different things. Then carry these words outside these walls. We're hurting. We're hurting so bad out there. Your actions and your words will be an example. And I'll give the Holy Spirit an opening. That's all he needs. As we go to prayer, I hope you'll ask for the Holy Spirit to turn you into God's hands and feet. A light in this dark world. And think about it, if your actions can help one person, they'll avoid hell. Because I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to tell you, hey, you're just going to disappear. No. We die, we're going to heaven or we're going to hell. There ain't no in between. And you can bring someone and help them come to Jesus. What more could you do in this world? Because then they can help someone. Right now, statistically, if you added all the Christians, proclaimed Christians in America together, and then you added all, then you put the new ones on the other side, it takes 85 or 86 Christians to make one new Christian in America right now. It's sad. Why is that? How much of walking the walk are we doing? I mean, being a Christian, some people think that it's being pushover. Some people think it's not. At times you have to say no, because this was best. And there ain't nothing wrong with saying no. Sometimes your act of compassion is no. You need to get help. No. But you're still showing compassion. That person may not realize it because it's not what they want, but it is the best thing for them. And I'm going to get y'all to stand up with me. We're going to pray, then the song, then the altar's going to be open. There may be someone in your mind right now that you know is so far away from Jesus that if they died right now, where would they go? You may be saying the same thing about yourself. If you die right now, where would you go? Would you go to heaven or would you go to hell with what's in your heart right now? If you don't like that answer, these altars are open. I'm up here. I will pray with you. I will pray with you about someone. It starts with a prayer. It starts with, God, I'm a sinner. I'm messed up from the floor up. I need you to guide my words. I need you to guide my days. I need you to guide my actions. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, we ask to be your hands and feet. We ask to be the light in this dark world. Father, we ask for cleansing of our hearts. We ask for guidance. We ask for leadership. We ask, Father, when we get in those situations where we're unsure of what to do and what to say, that you give us the words to say and you give us the things to do and the courage to do them. Father, we just ask that we follow your example of compassion. We follow your example of healing. Father, we may not be able to give physical healing, but Father, we can help give spiritual healing. Father, we ask for discernment to know what's in people's hearts. Father, we ask for the right things to do in your eyes. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.